This podcast is a member of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts and content creators, visit bio.link/red5.
Hey, what's up, conversationists? This is your friendly neighborhood Ro from the Scare of Scuttlebutt podcast. You're about to embark on another conversation with my friends and yours, Pat and Charles. Thanks for joining the discussion. Strap in and get ready for a brand new Conversations podcast. And that's the Scuttlebutt.
Conversations, you're the one. You make Star Wars lots of fun.
Yeah, you do.
Conversations, may the Force be strong with you. Sing it, Bubby.
Zoopy dooby doo.
Yeah, Bub.
Pat and Charles, you're so grand. Never afraid to lend a helping hand.
That's true.
Conversations, may the Force be strong with.
Absolutely be strong with.
I see what you did.
Oh,
conversations may the Force be strong with you.
Hello, and welcome to Conversations. I'm Charles.
And I'm right next to you, and this is episode 127. Since the days of the Old Republic, inorganic beings have been a constant presence in Star Wars. These rambunctious robots have stolen the screen and our hearts with their metallic wit, mechanic heroics, and circuitry sacrifice. Delve deep with us on a droid discussion.
Ooh.
Yes, but which droid is it?
B2MO?
Not B2MO. Is that what he sounds like? I think that's what he sounds like.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, all right, cool. C-110P!
I don't know who that is.
Chopper.
That's right. C-110. That looks like an H. Ah, I see what they did there. That's where it comes from.
Listen, I apologize to both of you for this. He's new. It's his first day. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. But yes, so Chopper, good old Chop.
Oh, he's
my favorite.
He's the best. He's your cantankerous Italian grandpa. Yes. He's the savior of our explicit rating on our podcast.
He totally is. I mean, except a couple times. I don't think he plugged into the data port properly.
Yes.
And a couple things slipped through.
Yeah.
I blame him, though.
Yeah, well.
Because he wasn't paying attention.
Exactly. It's not my fault. I mean.
No. It's not my fault.
I mean, yeah, we had several people point that out to us. Tom at Hyperion Adventures Podcast. It wasn't Rob, because he doesn't listen to any podcast.
No, but also if it was Rob from the Jedi Temple Archives, he would have chastised us for not using more explicit language.
Right. And then not blocking them.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Seven Ghost Pepper.
Yes, he did.
He pointed that out as well. But it was still well received as an episode. It was just, we
didn't cover up our pickups with Chopper.
Like that one.
Right. Thanks, Chop.
Oh, boy. Chopper. Yes.
He's going to keep you busy tonight.
He is going to keep me busy.
So Chopper was a C1 series astromech droid.
Mm-hmm.
So he's similar in most respects to an R2 unit. He was an astromech.
Yes.
But.
Yes.
Different in several ways.
Mm.
And I think, to me, Chopper is what R2 was intended to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's part of what Dave Filoni had talked about, right? When he brought this character into it.
Yes.
So the C1 series was produced by the Industrial Automation Company, which took care of the R2 series.
Mm-hmm.
The LOM series.
Yes.
The Gonk series.
Gonk, gonk.
And even the Marksman H training remote droid.
Oh, man. Are you serious?
Yeah. You know, like in the...
Yeah, no. The blast shield down, yeah, I can't even see. How am I supposed to fight?
Yeah. So that company was sort of the origin of many of the most popular droids in Star Wars Galaxy.
Yeah.
In doing research for this episode, I did not...
Wait, you did research?
A little bit.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, I figured first time up for the everything,
game. Well, 2024.
Hey, new year, new you.
Well, it is like almost the second episode of our sixth season. Because the first episode was that Star Wars podcast day was our first episode of our new season in February.
Right. So yeah. Happy new season, buddy.
Happy new season part two or that's whatever. Sweet. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. So his home planet was Lasan.
That sounds familiar.
It is, because that's where Zeb is from.
It is.
That is crazy.
I know. Isn't that cool? So it's great, though. It becomes full circle.
It does. And it sort of explains why like, they have that sort of cantankerous camaraderie.
Yeah, I think he got a Lasat personality chip, for sure.
So there's a few other personality chips in there as well.
Yeah.
Italian, grandpa.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Great Depression survivor. No, I get it. I understand.
So, yeah, as you were saying, Dave Filoni had written him into the Rebels series.
Star Wars Rebels is where we first see him.
Correct. Yes. And first of all, it's voiced by Dave Filoni. All those...
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah.
I mean, so the writers, they had to write out lines for Chopper.
Sure.
For which then Dave Filoni then garbled for the character of Chopper.
Right. Right.
Which is so cool. And
which I hope is what we see in Ahsoka Series 2.
Yes.
Season 2.
Yes, you'd think that would be.
Because I would love for him to be so vocal in that as well. Oh, he's the best.
And so Filoni was quoted as saying, if R2 is the family dog, Chopper is the cat. And having a cat, I completely understand what that means.
And not having a cat, I still completely understand what that means. Which is why I don't have a cat. So, yeah, he was manufactured on Lasan a few decades prior to the Clone Wars. By the time we're introduced to him in Star Wars Rebels, which is quite a bit past the Clone Wars, he was definitely past his warranty date.
Yes, yeah. So he was an old guy, and that sort of explains a lot.
Right. He's done putting up with people's So that being said, he's got that cantankerous programming, as you said.
Right. And if you look at the concept art that Ralph McQuarrie had done for C-3PO and R2.
Yes.
Well, which we talked about in episode 60.
Yeah, because episode 60, because R2 had little arms on his head.
Yes. And that was directly inspired. And how many times have we heard that Dave Filoni has gone back into those archives, not just for characters,
but also We've not only heard it, but we've seen it.
Right. And so this is like part of the inspiration for Chopper back then.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, he's got more of a cylindrical trapezoidal head than R2's domed head, you know.
Right.
And then the arms on the sides of the head and a little radar dish on top.
Yes.
Which I imagine is because he's on Wi-Fi. And which R2 wasn't. I mean, it's a tough luck for him.
That's true.
Of course, he had most of the other bells and whistles that come on the astromechs at that point in time. So we're introduced to him in Rebels.
Yes.
And he's an integral member of the Spectre cell. And he had the codename Spectre 3. Mm-hmm. He was the mechanic.
Yes.
Which, if you've watched Mafia movies, you know what the mechanic is. So let's not mess with him. I'm just saying.
aside from the foul language, yes.
Right, right. I mean, exactly. He's definitely invested in Atlantic City or Canto Bight, maybe. He knows where stuff's buried, so don't do that.
I think he's taking protection payments from Canto Bight.
Maybe. Either way, if they don't pay, they're going to end up with some Durasteel boots real quick. So he proved quite useful on the Ghost because he was manning the weaponry, repairing damage that they suffered in battle, securing cargo, as well as occasionally keeping the ship on course when the rest of the Spectre crew was busy.
Right. And while maintaining the Ghost...
Speaking of the Ghost, not to shamefully plug anything, but we did a whole episode on the Ghost in episode 112.
Nice. I forgot. Oh, my God.
I know.
I write that down.
I did. I mean, I remember what we do, except for the Pike thing. But anyway.
And the quote McQuarrie thing.
What McQuarrie thing?
There you go.
Ah, there it is. Yes.
The Ghost itself, because he was in charge of that ship, it became so in tune to the way he works, no other droid, no other astromech could actually maintain it. Because he imprinted himself on that ship.
And right.
Not only is that job protection, it's also don't mess around with my work.
Right.
But, you know, he's Spectre 3.
Yeah.
But shouldn't he be like Spectre 2 if Hera's a Spectre 1?
Nah. Nah, because Kanan's Spectre 2.
I get it, but Chopper became before Kanan.
Yeah, but they weren't part of the Spectre cell until
when
Kanan
it was
came.
There. I'm just saying that.
I mean, Kanan's taller.
Yeah, I'm taller than you. But guess who I'm worried about? You. Just like I'm worried about Chopper.
Ah, well played. I knew there was a heightist joke in there somewhere. Oh boy.
Oh, you and Michelle.
She'd
point.
Kick your.
He would. But my point is that. The history of Hera and Chopper goes very far back, and it's a touching history. I get the whole Spectre thing and the Rebel Cell and everything, but it's really quite interesting how they came together.
Right. So before we get to that, let's talk about his extra parts.
Ooh.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Because, like I said, he's got a bunch of stuff that R2 units have that we've seen R2 use in some of the prequels and stuff.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
But.
Yes.
This dude has some crazy. He's got extra parts.
He's stacked.
Okay? Yeah, man. Like
limited.
Yeah, man.
Ultimate edition.
Like man. he's got like all the unlockable extras you could get.
He's got all the DLC.
Yeah, like exactly. He's like the luxury model for sure. Except don't tell him that because he'd be pissed.
His dome would get bigger.
It would get bigger. Yes. We don't need that. Some of his extra parts consisted of an arc welder, a rocket booster.
Right.
Of course, he had a holo projector of force, a spark projector, electroshock prod. He had a computer probe, clearly, as most astromechs do.
Right.
I think as all astromechs do.
Yeah, because
he had fire extinguisher. And then, of course, the grasping arms on each side of his head.
Yes.
And the ever handy buzzsaw.
Because
who wouldn't want an astromech that's curmudgeonly anyway with access to a buzzsaw?
Well, there are all those nasty limbs that you'd want to get rid of.
That's true. Situations. He is bloodthirsty. That is sure. For sure. So initially, he was in service to the Republic Navy as a navigator on a spice freighter. Oh, that sounds familiar. Just like Luke's father. Oh, no. He was a navigational astromech in the Ryloth campaign.
Mm.
Okay, which I think brings us to what you were going to say.
Yes, right.
Right, so I'm going to fill in a little bit of backstory.
Right, the one that makes sense. Yeah.
Right.
A Y-Wing crash-landed on Ryloth during the Clone War, and a young Hera pulled...
Which Clone War?
Well, there's only one.
Okay, that Clone War.
That Clone
War. Got
it. The Clone War.
Okay.
Yeah, and a young Hera pulled Chop out of the wreckage, and he's been with her ever since.
Right.
Because he was left there for dead... And she took him out, and she repaired him, and did all that. And they bonded, of course. And that also explains why, from then on, he just despises Y-Wings. Because, obviously, it's sort of a post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Yes.
Sort of thing. Post-traumatic
circuit disorder.
It's even better.
Post-traumatic circuit disorder.
So,
PTCD.
There you go.
He gets it. All right.
So, yeah, and... That we saw in the Bad Batch Season 1.
Correct.
That sort of origin story.
Yeah.
And so that's why she put him in charge of the Ghost, because he was an astromech and it just wouldn't
mean. And like, why not?
Right.
Because he's awesome.
Yeah.
And he knows what he's doing. So as the Galactic Rebellion grew, he and the crew joined the Phoenix Squadron, and they continued to fight the Galactic Empire, obviously, on a sort of a larger scale. As the seasons of Rebels progressed, and as the timeline nearered the original trilogy.
Right. And there's quite the host of characters that they met in
Rebels. Oh my gosh. Remember when he met Lando? We'll get to that.
We will. Before they met Lando, relatively early in the series, he met Threep and R2.
He did.
Which is kind of meta when you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously they threw that in there because why not?
Right.
It was so good.
it was hilarious.
So good.
And R2 and Chop having a tussle.
Right. And Threepio being like, oh, so uncivilized. Because obviously, he's like so out of place with those two.
Well, he is, but the fact that he called Chopper old and then R2 called him a thief.
He shouldn't have. They should not have. That is a bad move.
Why did they poke the Rob? I mean, the Chopper.
Stop. You're going to get us in trouble. He's going to find us. Next week.
Oh, that's true. But he doesn't listen to the episode anyways.
That's true. He won't hear us.
No.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so they had a lot of fun with kind of integrating the Ghost crew with some of the other mainstays of the saga, which was a lot of fun to see those interactions, of course, with the droids and all.
And it was still, like, sort of, in his nature, cantankerous and sort of standoffish. Uh-huh. Even with Zeb, like we had talked about, the fact that he's from his home planet, you'd think that it would be sort of a natural affinity for Zeb. But even with Zeb, he tolerated. But with Ezra, forget about it. When he first joined the crew, him and Zeb actually bonded over the fact that they both didn't like Ezra.
Right, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Exactly. So it took time for them to warm up to Ezra.
I mean, can you blame him, though?
No.
He's Aladdin in space.
He is. He very much is Aladdin in space.
Street rat. I don't buy that.
Didn't he steal an apple?
He stole Meilu Run.
Oh, Meilu Run. That's what it was.
He did.
Yeah.
And like Imperial cargo that they were trying to take too. Which is bad news.
Yeah. And come between him and Hera.
Ooh. Good luck to you, pal.
You're messed up.
Good
at
luck,
that point.
Pal. Yeah.
But eventually, Chopper did warm up to Ezra, so much so that he donated one of his power cells when he built his new lightsaber.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, let's be clear on one thing. You know, and we've said it many, 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 many times that Star Wars is a story about family. And not only biological family, but found family and sort of the creation of family. And when Ezra first meets the group, everyone's like, look at this kid, what a jerk. And like, he's such a punk and he messed up all our plans and all this nonsense.
Yeah.
But by the end, it's like, oh my God, like he's sacrificing himself for us and for the good of everything. And of course, we see in the Ahsoka series that he was off on some crazy planet with the what did you call him?
Ewoks.
Ewoks, that's what it was. Ewoks. So by the time we see him in Ahsoka, We don't know what happened to him. So he made this sacrifice for the, not only for the galaxy, but for his family.
Right.
That, you know, meant everything to him at that point in time to save everybody.
Yeah.
He didn't know what was going to happen to him.
No.
So that's the bond that these characters have formed with each other is that, you know, they would do anything to protect each other and to protect the galaxy from these threats. So the fact that you can demonstrate that. And then, you know, Zeb and Chopper can both realize that. It's like, look, this kid was a bit of a punk, you know, and, you know, he's just looking out for himself on the streets of Lothal and everything. And, you know, I can show you the world. Shining, shimmering splendor. So what happens is when this kid starts to assimilate into the culture of the Spectres and the Ghost Crew, then he's going to employ that plucky, like, do anything I can to survive attitude to not only himself, but his family.
Yes.
And so then that can be identified and reciprocated by Zeb, by Hera, by Sabine, by Kanan, who ends up training him. And of course, by Chopper, who initially had one idea about him that changed.
Not only did it change for the positive, Chopper grew to appreciate Ezra's rebel nature.
Right.
Which is one of the foundations of Chopper. So he looked at that as like, almost like as a complimentary trait.
Oh, yeah.
And he accompanied him many times on these unapproved missions, we could call them,
I guess. Yes. Yes. It's like Mission Impossible stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, listen, we know you're doing this, but we don't know you're doing this. He was a major part of so many of the Spectre Crew's missions. Like, he infiltrated the Imperial Academy training facility.
Yes.
And he underwent a paint job disguise to throw off any Imperial suspicion.
That paint job.
I love it so much.
We have to do that customization.
I'm telling you, we need another Chopper Black Series, and then we'll do it. We have the one we owe to David from Black Spire Broadcast.
Right.
So we have to give that one to him. So we can't do it on that one. But if we get another Chopper Black Series, we're definitely doing the Imperial Disguise custom. We can't. It's his. I told him it's his already. Okay. And the sooner we give it to him, the less temptation we have to open it and do the custom paint job. Unless
he says
we do the custom paint job and then give him the custom paint job Chopper.
And then put it back in the packaging.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's do that.
We could do that.
We can do that.
We could do that.
You could do that.
I could do that.
That's not
you could say, great job. With your arms shackled to the thing. Great job. Oh, yes.
But yes. And there were several times that we saw
absolutely. And you know, the funny dissonance to that whole thing is like, he looks Imperial, but he does not act Imperial at all. You see him in the Imperial. And he's like bumping into stuff, and he's like, bah, 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 bah. He's like yelling at the data ports and stuff. He's just a mess. The dude is a mess, and I love him so much. But he's got this sort of black and red paint scheme, and he looks cool. He looks super cool. I love it
very much.
So what happens is, you know, he dresses the part, not unlike Indiana Jones when he punches out a Nazi and puts on his ill-fitting uniform.
Yeah.
Right, of course.
Yes.
That's essentially what he does. But then once he's in the facility and he looks the part, then he's able to relay intel to and from the operatives inside the academy to help the rebels' cause, to know what the Imperials are doing, and also to find rebel sympathizers to extract.
Yeah. A guy called Wedge?
Yeah, that guy.
That guy. Yeah. Well,
Well, yeah, we'll get to that later.
Well,
yeah.
Or you could listen to our episode.
That's true. Wedge. You could listen to the Wedge episode.
Wedge.
From our episode 62.
Nice.
We talked
nice
about pull. Wedge Antilles, yeah. and kind of, you know, his contributions to the rebellion, right. But also his time in the Imperial Academy, at which time he was aided by Chopper and his, a quote-unquote rescue from the Imperial Academy.
Yeah,
which,
sure.
I mean, had Luke joined, I mean, who knows what would have happened.
Right, well, we don't know
just
that,
one or two more seasons, and then we don't have to worry about it.
We're going
to
take a quick break.
Oh, boy, here
we'll
right
go. Be right back.
Is it torture getting your droids repaired when you need them fixed? Finding a reliable repair shop tougher than navigating an asteroid field?
Sir, the possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
Good thing there's one name you can trust. Mr. Frixit.
Hey!
From mouse droids to towering IG units, to the newest BB units, and all the way back to those antique B1 battle droids, Mr. Frixit services them all. And every job comes with Babu's personal guarantee. I don't know what he just said, but you can count on it being good. No job is too big or small. Unless you're dropping off your droid at their Navarro shop, 12521 8th West Club Obi-Wan Way. Hollow ahead for parking instructions. Mr. Frixit, the biggest name in droid repair. Huh?
Bow, bow. You're back!
Thank you to our sponsors. Mr. Frixit.
I think so.
That's
quite
appropriate.
Yeah. I mean, that's my version. I don't know if that's what he sounds like. But anyway, yes. So we appreciate him and all his efforts to keep our favorite C1 series astromech functioning to help us out throughout all of this and throughout our episodes and our profanity.
Right. Yes. Because he keeps us on track, basically.
He does. He does. So before the break, we were talking about some of the other characters who have played a part in Chopper's existence.
Yes.
Which you had mentioned Lando. So what happened was...
What happened?
Zeb was playing Sabacc against Lando.
Right.
Which is inherently a bad idea. Zeb makes a bad Sabacc bet with Lando, where he puts Chopper up as the prize. Lando, being what everyone knows he is, if you saw Solo, if you haven't seen Solo, you need to watch Solo.
It's a fantastic movie.
Come on. It's a fun ride.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
And Donald Glover, come on. Are you kidding me? He's
Lando.
Perfect young Lando. Anyway, so Lando is a bit of a cheat, a bit of a scoundrel.
A little bit.
So he, of course, wins.
Right.
Because Zeb's probably less of a cheat than Lando.
Right.
I wouldn't say he's a straight shooter, because he might not be.
No.
However, the fact is, I think we did a Lando episode, like, way at the beginning. Yeah, we did Lando episode 22.
Right.
So
that's way back.
Yeah, so that was like season one stuff. So if you listen to an episode about Lando, there's that. If you haven't, well, I might give you a little insight into why he won this game of Sabacc.
And why Zeb didn't cheat because of his history. You could also listen to our episode 104.
About Zeb, Gary Zamorelios. Yeah, right. There was a short period of time where Lando actually owned Chopper.
Yes.
Chopper was not happy about it. And he was pissed at Zeb because he's like, seriously, dude?
Really, you lost
me? Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, this dude, you know this dude's a scoundrel. Are you going to play this game straight edge and you're going to let him cheat and he's going to win and he's going to win me as the prize? Forget you, pal.
And Hera, she was pissed.
My God. You thought she was going to kick him off the ship.
Yeah. So as much as Chopper didn't like Lando, he eventually started to make Lando think that he liked him. Just to be able to make it in spite. It's like, no, I hated you all the time, you know?
Right. I mean, you know, had Admiral Ackbar been there, he would have very clearly said, it's a trap. Because, make no mistake, it certainly was a trap.
Yes.
He had no intention of actually liking or befriending Lando. However, he made it seem as though he was amicable to him. Until Lando was swindled.
He appreciated the fact that he was
swindled. Well, of
course
he did, because that's a page out of my playbook.
Exactly. You know who have we here? Harrison Dula. Hello.
He was out swindled by Hera and the Ghost Crew to get Chopper back. And there was a weird sense of, like, admiration there.
Yes.
Where he's like, oh, they outsmarted me. Yep. Yeah, good cuts, you know what I mean? So that was very brief. I don't know exactly. It was probably a couple days at the most.
Two episodes, maybe.
maybe an hour and a half. I don't know. They got him back real quick.
Yes.
So it was kind of a weird misstep on behalf of Zeb that I'm sure he has not forgotten.
No, and the fact that it brings in Lando as we see him in Empire,
yeah,
it was just a great treat to see him in there. And
I love it.
Yeah, he's so good. And so from there, we move on to another encounter that the Ghost Crew had when Kanan was taken. He was abducted by the Imperials and a younger Tarkin. And of course, since then, they set up this whole rescue mission. And during this mission, they captured the Imperial droid R5264, and like this courier droid. And so just as the crew was considering keeping this Imperial droid...
I love, you know what, Chopper is probably eavesdropping because he does. And they were like, oh, this could be useful. And he's like, bah, 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 bah.
And to translate that, I was like, I'm going to blow him out the hatch. And then he did.
And then he did, because that's what he does. Oh, boy.
What I love about that part is that for the short term, Chopper is about, you know, protecting his own. But for the long term, he's about protecting the family, which is the Ghost Crew. Right. And ultimately, that wasn't going to work out. So... was it jealousy? Nah, not really. It's just, was it his
content? I mean, a little bit.
Yeah, but it's also his nature to blow him out the airlock, which is fantastic. So I just wanted to point that one out.
Yes, so good. Yeah, so then also, obviously, he met Fulcrum, which at this point was Ahsoka Tano.
Very true.
Yeah, love Ahsoka Tano. Yeah. She's the best.
Oh, that was one of the best reveals, because
I mean,
as one of you may know this story, as soon as I finished the Clone Wars, now you got to watch Rebels.
Right. And you were all upset about Ahsoka being gone, leaving the Order, and Anakin chasing after her and her walking down the steps, and you cried on the treadmill. No, we all know the story.
Wow. You say that so... well, it's right, actually.
So callous?
So
callous? We'll get to that later. Oh, boy.
When she came back in Rebels as Fulcrum.
And you know what's so ridiculous about it is the Fulcrum emblem is like the tattoos on her face.
That's so true, yeah.
Like, those are her forehead tattoos.
Yeah.
And I'm guilty of this as well, because when I first saw it, I was like, oh, what a cool design. And I was like, oh my God, it's her tattoos!
I feel like such an idiot.
Right,
now I can make fun of Westcott.
Exactly. And then you're like, I didn't know. And I'm like, ha-ha.
Loser.
Which I didn't know either. But, yes.
It's like a Chopper thing to do right there.
Yep. I get it from my grandfather. So that was such a great thing. And, you know, obviously with Dave Filoni's love of the character and her amazing fan support throughout the years after, you know, the initial introduction of the character where everyone's like, she sucks, she's stupid, and she's like whiny little teenager and all this nonsense. And then she was like the best version of a Jedi, like, yeah, that existed. It's, yes, like, oh my God, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, I mean, that whole thing was like, yeah, she needs to come back. So, you know, coming back as Fulcrum through the way everything unfolded through Clone Wars and then Rebels, where, like, she was not a part of the Order, but she was still helping people and she was still getting intel and transmitting it to the Rebellion and everything. It was a perfect use for the character because, right, she still do the good that she was hoping to do through the galaxy without being tied to,
right,
the Order and all that nonsense that they were trying to do.
Right. And for that, we can thank a lot of that to Bail Organa.
Right, we can. Episode 114, Bail Organa.
Yeah.
So,
like, he was integral in recruiting her as part of the Rebellion.
I mean, hold on. I'm sure there wasn't a lot of arm twisting.
No.
Because, like, she wants to help anyway.
Of course, but she's also trying to...
But he was a linchpin to make...
Right, and she was trying to hide her identity, so for him to find her out...
So him to have that opportunity for her to help and still remain anonymous, you know, I yeah, okay, fine, right, whatever. yeah, so, and of course, he came into contact and conflict with Inquisitors...
Yeah.
A bounty hunter,
yes,
from Black Sun,
yes,
Ketsu Onyo,
yeah, like, yeah, just like an acquaintance of Sabine, which is one of the members, of course, of the Ghost Group.
She's Spectre 5.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, he's Ezra Spectre 6.
Right, yeah, he's a
it's the last one.
Right, come on. Well, he's
not gonna bump anybody.
It's like 1.5. I mean, come on. Maybe after the Ahsoka series, we'll reevaluate his number.
Oh my gosh, he's so weird.
But yeah, and then they also met a young Leia.
That's true. Yeah,
Like, and like, she's in her teens still at that point, and
which, I mean, she was 19 in A New Hope, so, you know, so she was well on her way to being the rambunctious firecracker that we saw in A New Hope for sure.
Right, and we also in this series meet a droid that basically becomes Chopper's probably best friend. It's an RA7 protocol droid called AP5.
Yes.
Voiced by Stephen Stanton.
And like, I love AP5.
As a perfect stand-in for
Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman.
Which is not Richson.
Well, he's from Reacher, but
right. Alan Rickman. Yes.
God rest his soul, of course.
Yes, yeah. I know. Hans Gruber from Die Hard.
Right, or yes. Snape from
the Harry Potter.
So many great roles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, he's been fantastic in a bunch of things.
So you get that sense from that voice of AP5. And
yes.
AP5 ended up becoming probably one of the closest AP5. He is. He's really awesome. And analytical to the end, but still just so very interesting. And really became one of the, like, Chopper's closest friends that wasn't part of the Ghost Crew.
Right. I mean, when you know Chopper, you can understand why AP5 would become one of his closest friends.
Right.
Because he and AP5 are cut from the same cloth.
Yes.
Cut from the same, you know, manufacturing depot.
Right. Or sheet of metal.
Yes.
Plastisteel or something. Whatever.
Yeah. No, it's the truth. They're both very dry. And very analytical.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's no surprise that they become fast friends, for they're just both so cynical.
Yeah.
And they're both commentating on everything with such that cynical eye that they're like, yeah, okay. All right. So you guys are going to, you know, save the galaxy or whatever.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's going
to
work.
Okay. Here we go. You know, like, both pessimistic and both, like, just super critical of everyone. I love it so much.
And we also meet, of course, Hondo in this series.
Yes, of course we do, because Hondo is wonderful.
Who just loves Ezra to death.
Oh, because he's his favorite. I just listened to the audio that we did for Tom and Michelle's Thanksgiving episode for the Hyperion Adventure podcast with Hondo and Jack Sparrow. So ridiculous.
A tour de force for you, for sure.
It was certainly vocal acrobatics. However, I am proud of the homage that I've done for both of them. However, you know, in that, I remember saying, I am thankful for, well, Ezra, of course, and Melts, and, well, you know me. He definitely has a soft spot for Ezra.
So, yes. So we also met Maul. Yeah.
And that's yikes. That's a bad deal. I don't like that.
Yeah.
For the Rebels crew, because it does not end well.
No, it does not.
For anyone. No. Ezra gets tricked. Kanan gets blinded. And, like, the whole thing is bad news.
Yeah. Twin sons and the whole bit. It's not a good thing.
Twin sons is a beautiful episode. Yes. Don't get me wrong. But it's the end of Maul.
Yeah.
Which of course, is a sad thing because of the brilliance of Sam Witwer.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter Serafinowicz and of course Ray Park, that whole triad of talent that brought that character to what he is was put to an end there, which is understandable, but it's still sad for me. I've loved Sam Witwer since Smallville, and then from Being Human, and then Starkiller, and then Maul, and everything. He's like my favorite. He's like the uber nerd.
Deservedly so.
And I love him so much. So to see his character come to an end then makes sense, but it still saddens me. However, it's very important for the storyline and for Kenobi and, you know, for the future of Luke Skywalker and things like that. So, like, it makes sense. But, yeah, what an episode. My gosh.
And it shows then how, at this point, Chopper's become bonded with Ezra because
he goes really with him
on this mission.
And
it was definitely not a mission from Hera, for sure.
Oh, no. Most of his missions were not committed.
And for sure not Kanan because it involved the Sith Holocron and the whole bit. It was just an exploration in, I need to do this for Ezra, but yet Chopper accompanied him. And that just shows his dedication and really his love for Ezra and one of his sort of found family members within the Ghost crew. And as it ends, Obi-Wan takes out Maul, as we just talked about.
Right.
But he also charges Chopper. As Kenobi understands, like, this droid accompanied Ezra to this planet in a similar way that he's familiar with R2 and C-3PO.
Oh, absolutely.
How dedicated they are.
Absolutely.
And that's, like, part of the family, part of the crew, part of the alliance against the bad. And it's a fantastic connection to his past as well.
Right. I'm sure that Obi-Wan can recognize the dedication to the droid that he recognized in R2 in Chopper as well. Because, you know, they're cut from the same metal. And it's that same sort of sense of loyalty that Chopper has to the Ghost crew, that R2 had to Obi-Wan, to Leia, to Luke, that kind of led to the success of the rebellion, which, you know, for Chopper led to the success of the Phoenix Squadron.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Yeah.
And Obi-Wan can immediately recognize that this droid is worth more than his scrap for you guys.
Yes.
Because he's got the intel, he's got the know-how, and he's got the pluck necessary to continue the fight until it's won. And that's really what Chopper did through his memory banks and through his, I don't want to say lifespan, but through his, extended warranty.
Experiences. Overextended warranty.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, basically he's been integral for the rebellion at that point with finding Atsalon.
They named the base after him, for cripe's sake.
Yeah, like Chopper Base. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You name this base on Adelon after a droid that helped you find it? Like, as Nicolas Cage would say, that's high praise. So, you know, that being said, you know, it's like, this dude has commendations out the motherboards, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, and as we close out the Rebels era, he met Saw Gerrera and the Partisans. But let's talk about a subject that's not very easy to talk about.
Oh, boy.
The death of Kanan.
I don't want to talk about that.
It was really...
In fact, I refuse to talk about that.
So let's just skip that, and then let's just talk about the aftermath of Hera.
I mean, what is the on-screen effect of Chopper in the aftermath of Kanan's demise? He's, like, sad on screen. That's it.
And,
like, we don't need to talk about that.
And one of the quintessential moments of the entire Rebel series is when Chopper holds Hera's hand. And
I don't
how
want to talk about this.
It is.
It's like feelings and like emotions and stuff.
Those scare me. I must not talk about them.
It's fine. If you have PD me, I'll shut down for a while.
It's such a simple scene, right?
I know, but he navigates it masterfully.
Yeah. So powerful for him.
Yeah. So the whole Kanan and Jarrus arc. We did cover in episode 86.
Oh, that's right.
Which really just kind of encapsulates his entire on-screen and literary-based presence through that heartbreaking scene that I told you we weren't going to talk about. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going
to
do it.
No, no.
So we talked about it in the Canon episode, and that's it. If you want to know my thoughts on that, go check out that one, because I don't feel like crying tonight. That being said, you know, Chopper was such an integral part in uniting the Spectre crew in that absence to elicit smiles through the Ghost crew, through his particular brand of nonsense, that really was such an asset to the Spectre crew.
Yeah, and we see that in Ahsoka. You know, it brings it up right there. It's the attitude, the protectiveness, I'd say, of him.
Absolutely.
But still the integral member of the crew. And if it wasn't for him, there's certain parts of the story in the Ahsoka series we just saw that wouldn't have happened without him.
So, quick question. Now can he be Spectre too? Too soon? Too soon?
Too soon? Oh my god!
What an evil. Anyway.
Talk about crying!
Wow! It's not my fault Kanan died.
Wow.
What a jerk.
I think we're ready to close out this episode.
I think we might be.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Whoa, whoa. We're trying to end on a positive note. Why would you drop all
that? I'm just saying I was excited about his experience in Star Wars.
Okay, well that's... I'm glad I don't have to chop those because they're already chopped, but holy moly, man.
I chopped them myself, thank you very much.
I hope there's no translator on that one because we'll be explicit from now until the end.
Oh boy, we'll never get down at that rate.
So we move from the Rebels series into Rogue One, and of course we see him in there.
Yeah, and with the Ghost being present at the Battle of Exegol in Rise of Skywalker, I imagine that Chopper was still there at that point. I love Chopper. He's by far my favorite droid.
He's your spirit droid.
He totally is. Mm-hmm. And he's very much in my top five characters in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because I love him so much. I remember talking to you about Chopper before you watch Rebels because, nobody's perfect. But just at how hilarious he was. And you were like, Chopper, that's a weird thing. And then you met him, and you were like, yes, Chopper's
amazing.
Outstanding. Yeah. He's very well received in the fandom and in the storyline and in what he can do to propel the story forward. And he's fantastic. I love him.
He is. He really is. And he's there not for just comedic relief, but he's also there for, like you said, major story development and also the heartfelt moments and makes him endearing immediately. And like you said, way back at the start in your intro, these mechanical, quote unquote, soulless characters end up being some of the most touching characters that we all fall in love with. And Chopper's a perfect example.
Absolutely. I think that just because they're filled with circuits and in need of oil baths doesn't make them any less instrumental in the War of the Stars and just really have been pivotal in the success of our heroes that we love. Mm-hmm. And so to count them out as simply robots is foolishness.
Correct.
And Chopper is certainly a major point to that, to affirm that with not only his plucky attitude, but his, like, I don't give a shit. I'm going to help out the rebellion as much as I can. And the effects of that, where, you know, they named a base after him.
Some would say that he's more human than some of the characters he played against.
Oh, there you go.
Well, that takes care of our Chopper episode.
I mean, so far.
Right.
Who knows? I mean, he's a droid, so really we could repower him up at 112 ABY. And he would be just as rambunctious and cantankerous as he was back in 50 BBY. I love everything he's done for the series and for the characters and for the storyline. And if I see him again on screen in Ahsoka Season 2, then that'll be amazing. And I would love to see him interact on that level.
That would be fantastic.
For sure.
Yeah. More stories with Chopper are better stories. All right.
So the very best place to find us is on our very own website, which is conversations.com. We are online. Well, you're online at facebook.com/conversations, at X or Twitter or whatever they're calling themselves these days, at Swations.
Mm-hmm.
And Instagram is conversations. We have a Threads account.
Yes.
At conversations. We have an Etsy shop, which is Commerce Swations.
You gotta update that soon. I gotta do that. Yeah.
You better, because we have more designs that we need to add. I love all the
They're
stuff.
They're so good. They are so
they
good.
They are amazing. I love. I wore the Red 5 Top Gun t-shirt recently. Oh, I love it so much. Commerce Swations at Etsy. Commerce as in making money, which... You know, we should probably change the name. Anyway, we have a link.tree/conversations. We are proud founding members of the Red 5 Podcast Network at bio.link/red5. And you can find us and many of our friends there. Our friend Ro, who is the podfather of the Red 5 Network. He's got a wonderful show at the Scarif Scuttlebutt Podcast. And everyone in the network is very, very cool and very neat. If you want to listen to shows like us or that have fun like us, that don't take themselves so damn seriously like us, then give them a listen because they're fantastic too. And we're friends with all of them and we love them very much.
Absolutely.
The Force will be with you always.
Greetings, listener. Just a reminder that the podcast you just heard is a proud member of the Red 5 Network family. Red5Network.com offers you a great variety of shows you'll be sure to love. So the next time you're itching for quality content, make sure you head over to Red5Network.com. You'll find this podcast along with a whole lot more. All wings report in. It's the Red 5 Network.